So the unruly portion, I think you've all figured out by now. So for me, it was that I would sit there and I would watch the planes leave and I wonder where they go. I had the sense that I needed to be somewhere else. And so when my father, and this is a part of the story that I don't often tell, so the trigger for me leaving, you know, now I'm a photo editor at Elle Magazine. I'm 23 years old. I'm making 60 grand at 23 in Germany, being a photo editor. That's pretty good. And I go to my editor-in-chief and I say, well, so what's coming next? And she says, honey, you're 23 years old. How about we'll get you a couple of years under your belt and some experience, and then we'll talk about advancing. I'm like, but I'm already here. So what comes next? And so for me, this idea that somebody would tell me that at any given time, I'd be hitting the wall and then I just have to stay there, that I can't move, and that's sort of my nightmare, is that there's no motion in my life, was an absolute nightmare for me. And I freaked out. So at that time, my father, who was a CEO of a dairy company, very, very, very successful, had sort of pushed it a little bit too hard and got fired. And they kind of just wanted to teach him a lesson on not being, you know, so arrogant. They didn't even have a replacement plan in place. They never thought that he was actually, that they had the majority to fire him from the board. But everybody wanted to teach him a lesson. So ultimately, you know, the company that fired him never recovered from this mistake that they made, but they wanted to teach my dad a lesson, and they did. So my dad got fired. So I'm sitting there for the first time, and I'm going like, I'm my father's daughter. I'm probably a little bit of an overachiever. Hey.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
I laugh because I've got a little bit of that.
Yes.
I think it's the German.
It's got to be, right? So it's always like pushing. So I watch what happens to my dad and I'm going like, oh, I'm just like that. What if other people look at me the same way? What if I'm at 23 arrogant? I'm a photo editor at Elle Magazine, for crying out loud. People will do anything for me. But they're not doing this because they like me. They're doing this because they like the job that I am in. Because they want something from me. And then I had a come to Jesus moment with myself. And I said, that's not who I want to be. That's not what I want to be. I want to be liked because of who I am. And then I'm like, I don't even like myself all that much. So I said, well, let's do sort of this journey to figure out what that is and who that person is. And the reason I'm telling you this is because I want you to realize and recognize that the ability within us to see our flaws and to flip them is entirely within ourselves. So I left. In 6 weeks, I quit my job. My father said, you're doing what? And he said, don't do anything until we've spoken. So he gets in the car, he drives from Nuremberg to Munich. You know, we're sitting like here. And he says, what are you doing? You're a photo editor at Elle Magazine. People kill for jobs like that. And I told him my reason. And we had a beer, which is the sensible thing to do in a case like this. And he said to me, you know, if I was you, I would do the same thing. So I wanted to do something that I've always been too afraid to do. And I wanted to find the courage in myself to go and have an adventure. I have not had a boring day since. So it has been an adventure. But because I ventured out and I did things that really were pushing the envelope, and I'm the coolest. I'm like classic middle class German, you know. I went to Catholic all girls school. What did I know that the world is full of, right? I'm grew up very protected. Here I am. I'm in Los Angeles, and I fall in love with this wonderful, charming man who only had two problems. He was a pathological liar and an alcoholic. Of which I only found out sort of once it was a little bit too late, because, you know, I sort of wanted it to be perfect, because here I am, I'm on the adventure, I'm the American dream, the girl from Germany, what could possibly go wrong? Life is just great, step at a time, and here it is, and it is in my face, and I'm hitting the wall with 180 miles an hour, pregnant and married. And then it begins. Riots, fires, floods. Every time I get back up, here it is. Another big hit. All right, fine. Here's the earthquake. I just been laid off from my job after with a 3-month-old baby because of the big recession. So I'm just sort of having my first client. Here's the big earthquake. It's already over, right? Because who's going to fly in a plane now to Los Angeles to produce while everything is in shambles? We can't even use the freeways, for crying out loud. Well, that's a little bit of a bump in the road, isn't it, when you're a brand new production company about, what, 6 months in? All right, but, I'm working hard. I'm doing what I need to be doing. I certainly realized in that moment when you're being shaken to the ground that life is too precious to waste it with anything that doesn't make you feel good. So I'm like, I'm divorcing now. This is it. I don't need to stay here any longer. And now I'm on my own with a small child. And I'm fighting, and then I get ahead, and then the photographer that, made $250,000 a year says, I think my business is off better without you, so I'm leaving. And I said, yeah, but our contract says that you need to pay me my commission for the next 6 months. The photographer says, well, let's see if you're going to, if you can invest $25,000 to sue me for the $25 I owe you. And left. Charming. Here it is. Again. All right. Fine. Going to put it behind me. Keep working, building up a production company. The bad employee comes and, she's working with me for years, and all of a sudden I'm going, something's really off here. And she got too close to one of the key photographers, another guy who's making hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it is not easy to make hundreds of thousands of dollars as a photographer, but my guys did, right? And they go and they say, like, well, she's not really working for us. We're really the ones. I'm the great photographer, and here is, the great assistant who makes everything happen. And so they decide that they were going to run my business just without me. Next thing I know is invoices that are payable to me are paid to them. And I'm calling, like, what's going on? Why are you not? Where's the payment? Oh, well, we heard that you are cheating and withholding money from them. So the photographer had said to pay the invoice to you. I said, but I billed you. How can you pay them? Well, that's really between you and them. So not just did it ruin this relationship and I was out, it also ruined the relationships with the clients, because now the clients are mad at me for asking for what is rightfully mine. Here it is again. So I'm fighting for my life, and I am, and I'm suing them. What else is a German to do? I mean, I got to be right at least once. So I sue them. Little did I know that the first $25,000 are just to write the first letter. Little did I know that every letter that you write with an attorney costs you another 10 grand. And it drags out in a year and a year. And you know how they send you these little checks in the mail that said, you need an extra $5,000? Sure, put it in the bank. And then another letter comes and says, you need an extra $8,000. I'm like, sure, let's put it in the bank. Never mind the 14, 15, 20% interest on it. I needed the money, and I was, and so I'm like, if I shovel this from here to there, and I'm, going to do the no penalty, no interest for 6 months transfer, and that's how I managed to stay alive. But I was in debt $135,000. So here I am. It's over, right? I mean, how long can you push this debt in front of you? So the lawsuit settles, and it's all done and said and paid, and I ended up with zero. The lawyers got their part. My debt was paid off. It's zero. So now I have this great idea with stock photography syndication, and it's a great idea, and I know it. It's at the right time. All this interior living well stuff is just about to take off. All these, 600 thread count sheets are making it into Kmart and JCPenney. People are really taking care of their homes. And remember the innovators I was talking about? Guess who I went after? The innovators. And my ticket to the game was that I went to the top guys who were all shooting on 4x5 film. And I said, I will digitize those, which were the most expensive to digitize in the days. And everybody else said, we're only allowing digital photography in submissions. But I knew that if I wanted the number one A-listers, I had to do this. I flew to New York. I went to the photographers. I grabbed the boxes myself, and I dragged the 4x5 film from New York to Los Angeles, and we had them digitized. And the deal was that I was going to charge them, but not out of pocket, but it was against future earnings, so it was a no-brainer. That's how I got the A-listers. And the A-listers, what I didn't think about at that time was that, of course, the A-lister works with the A-lister interior designer, the A-list architect, who then work for all the A-list celebrities. Next thing I know, it's Francis Ford Coppola, Terry Hatcher, it's Julian Moore, Simon Baker. All of a sudden, I'm getting all these like celebrity stores in, but I'm in debt again, $135,000. Fly to Germany, and my dad has a car accident. And we thought it was a stroke, but it wasn't a stroke. It was pancreatic cancer. So within 6 weeks, my best friend, my biggest supporter, the most amazing man who thought every idea I've ever had was a brilliant idea, dies in my arms. So here I am, and I'm going like, this cannot be it. And so here's the defining moment. And so many of us have these defining moments. So my defining moment, and go there with me. So I'm in this little town in Nether Bavaria, where my father's buried. And it's this hill that overlooks the whole landscape. And I was just there a couple weeks ago. And there's this Baroque church. And we just buried my dad, and it's my phone. My phone rings, and I pick up the phone, and it's my office in LA, and they say, we've just been served a notice. We have to move. And I fell on my knees, and I raised my fist against heaven, God, spirit, universe, and I yelled at God for a good 2 minutes. And I said, if you have a plan, this is a really good time to fill me in. Because it cannot be, it just cannot be, it cannot be that at the end of the day, the joke will be on me. I didn't lie. I didn't steal. I paid attention. I made it about the people. There has to be something in here that will turn this thing around. A couple of days later, I'm back in LA. You know, I work with a shelter, a charity, the Good Shepherd Shelter. And I talk to the executive director, and she says to me, your dad's going to be able to do more for you where he is at now than he was able to do for you when he was still alive. And my father died a broke man. After he got fired, he made some bad decisions, and he had a very hard life in the end. I think he left because he just couldn't manage anymore. And I come back, and in the meantime, I had written a letter to the President of the United States and a business plan. So this is the dime the story changes on. So I was writing a business plan in the morning and after I picked up my daughter from school. And on Saturdays and Sundays. And I was so desperate that I sent a letter to the President of the United States. And I said, dude, what the heck is going on here? I've done everything by the book. I'm the immigrant, the single mom. I paid my bills. I paid my taxes. I employed people. And here I am. I'm going to need help. Because if I don't get after all this disaster and drama, because my production company went under in September 11th. Because that was the second $500,000 I left. I'm not going to tell this. It's going to take too long. Maybe I'll tell that part tomorrow, but in another segment. So next thing I know, I get a call from the Small Business Administration, Lorenzo Flores. Never forget. And I come in with my business plan, my portfolio, And I say, here it is, what do we do? And he says, I'm going to help you. I think this is good. So he says, I'm going to put in what you're going to put in. And I knew it was going to be okay. 3 months later, I got funding that was for $135,000 backed by the SBA. Another 3 months later, I was hitting break even. And 18 months after I was on my knees in Germany, I sold my company for millions of dollars to Corbis, to Bill Gates' company. So what's the story here for you? Is it just the classic rags to riches story? That's, by the way, my first car. So just you let's just put it in relationship, yeah? And if you look at that futon on the floor, that is how I started. So the story, you know, you see how the story sort of makes sense on why I do what I do. Because it was so hard. It was so hard. Why is nobody talking about how hard it is? Single moms, it's hard. So where do you, you know, where do you take that energy as a woman up against this whole thing? And it's like, but what about me? A question so many women never even ask themselves. And the question never is asked in society. What about you? So how do you take that, and where do you go to pull that out? Nobody likes my stuff. I don't know what I'm going to do. What about me? So the story really is that you have to have that why. Because that why, that moment that I was talking about, where you're on your knees and you say, that joke is not on me, it just cannot be. Sometimes in, you know, in an energetic principle, you have to make it about that fire inside that says the joke will not be on me. Even though you don't know what it is going to be, but all you know, the joke will not be on you. You will not go down in flames. That has to be your motivator and that fire within. So